Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's two reasons why you're listening to this today. One, you know me and support me. Two, you're a nosy old shy. Either way, I'm happy to have you. You're listening to part two of episode 5 of the Unedited Podcast.
You think you can handle it? Do you think you could? Do you think you could handle it? Do you think you could?
One of the biggest areas that people really struggle with boundaries is with work and family, or work and work-life boundaries.
Yeah.
So you'd see somebody say, for example, they're in the start of a new job and they're trying to impress and so on, but at the same time they want to be home for, they say their wife's had a baby or whatever, okay?
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh God, the boss will come in and say, we're working on a big project now, I need you to stay late. And in that moment, the person has to choose, do I make an impression or do I choose my family in that regard? And a lot of the time, people will choose work in that moment because they think that that is probably the most important. And for some people it will be, but you have to be able to say to yourself no. And I'm telling you now, most bosses will respect you if you turn around and say, I can't do that because I have commitments with my family. If the boss doesn't respect you in that regard, you're not working for the company you should be working for.
Yeah.
You need to work for a company that will allow that and foster that, because that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Work serves us to be able to do all of these great things. It's not all about work.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about success in one of the podcasts as well, and the word success and what that means.
Mm.
You know, it's not about success for some people. Success means money or means work. What if you're not home and you're missing, you know, the child's first toot or the first word and
well,
so on?
Well, I hope you miss the child's first toot.
Well, you don't get that time back. You so don't get that time back. Like, but you're not going to be always in that company, like, you know?
No. Yeah. I only had this conversation the other day, and it is, people respect people that respect themselves.
Yeah, I love that as well, because that's the hard thing to do. But actually people go, I don't want to let that person down. But in fact, they're not. You're letting yourself down.
100%.
And you show that that boundary can be crossed.
Yeah.
Like, that boss won't ask again. If they go, no, it's 5 o'clock and that person works till 5, I shouldn't be asking them to stay on.
Yeah.
You know, but you can easily turn around and say, I can tonight, but if there is other opportunities where I can, of course I will.
Mm.
But now I need to be home to my family or to my dog, or, you know.
Yeah. But there's a load of elements of why people wouldn't implement that particular boundary. And it's because of their confidence in themselves, isn't it? Like, the workplace can be a real vulnerable place for some people, you know. Everybody is so conscious and getting ahead, and they put this pressure on themselves, like, I should be here right now, I should be in this position, I should be earning more. They think by staying back late and, you know, doing all this extra work is going to get them there, but it's not. It's taking control of your own life,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you're available to do, what you can offer the business. It's not always time. Value yourself, have integrity, that will bring you a lot further than the person who stays back till all hours, wearing themselves to the ground.
Yeah.
You go home when you're supposed to go home, get well rested, be with your family, do what serves you, show up the next day, fresh, ready.
100%. And that's the thing, show up the next day, fresh and ready, and literally give the hours that you're supposed to give. Another thing that I know people really struggle with in work, is not taking their lunch breaks and the breaks.
Yeah.
Like it's a big deal for me, because when you actually take a break, your brain actually recharges, and like neuroscience, like chemicals kick in and literally say, okay, I can be more creative and more productive because I've taken a break. People think they walk right through, but you get slower.
Oh, definitely. And you know, because you used to work in salons years ago as well, and I've done it. And that's an environment where you don't take a lunch break. You walk to the bone and you just do, you go boom, 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 boom. And the quality of the walk definitely slips. The relationships that you then have with that client as the day goes on, you're not fed. Come on.
No, you're exactly.
You know, don't talk to me when I'm hungry.
Yeah, hangry in fairness. Yeah, but that's the thing. But some of those environments are great to work in. Look, you know this. We've all had great times working in those environments. But looking back, when I think of, say, what would foster better productivity, it's making sure people take their breaks.
Yeah.
And it's fostering to the even to the clients and saying, look, that person's not available because they're on their lunch. You are literally enforcing a boundary to the client as well to say, we respect our staff enough to let them take the break. Like, imagine you weren't allowed to take a break at all. We'd all be up marching in O'Connell Street going, we want a break.
I know. But there has been, like, times like that where you haven't been, you know, years ago. Like, I mean, it was definitely put to me many times. Well, the client's sitting there like, no, you can't take a break. And I was told, you can't take a break.
Yeah.
You know, and you just kind of had to get on with it. Now, there's a part of me that kind of thinks sometimes we're missing a little bit of that kind of, like, you know, I used to say, like, there's not that many, like, kind of grafters anymore, you know. But you can still be, like, you know, like a grafter and do a lot for your employer, like, as in be there for them and all. But you have to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well. You're a version of yourself, but to be the best version of yourself, make the choices that serve you the best way. Like, and talk to your employer and talk to people and say, I need to take a lunch break because I am going to be much better for the business, for the clients, for you in that space.
You know,
but it's very difficult for young, like when I look back at my own career, it's very difficult to say that in that moment, because we come from families where we were all out working.
Yeah.
You know, you were told, just get on with it, put your head down.
Lucky to have a job.
Lucky to have a job and all. But in fact, it's not. It's lucky that you're working. It's lucky that you can, like, live a life that you have to live. But it's not everything. The job is not everything.
No.
It's a means to do the other things.
Yeah. And being happy in your job, I can't stress it enough how important it is. Like, I've had a mental busy week this week because I'm wrapping things up to take a holiday. Yup. And, it's so busy. So I got out of the car the other day and I looked at the diary and I was like, oh my God, jammers. And I thought to myself, oh Jesus. And then straight away, I remember the time I sat in your house, your old house, with you and your husband. He was doing a spreadsheet because we know he loves them.
Loves them.
And I was like, I can't live. Like, I can't walk for myself. I think I contemplated it for about 2 years. I was like, I can't walk for myself. What if I don't get enough clients? Like, what if people don't? How am I going to pay me bills? How am I going to pay for my house? How am I going to do all this? And you are like, how many clients do you actually need to cover the cost of your living? And you were trying to give me the confidence to finally take that leap and go for it. And I thought about that memory this week. And I thought about how lucky I am and how amazing it is that I have a full book of clients.
Absolutely.
That then people are all choosing to come to me. But is that that's because I made that decision to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I show up there well rested. Ready. I love me work. I love what I do.
Yeah.
It's a much better environment to be around. And you can get that.
100%. And even when you said, I'm lucky, it's not that you're lucky. You are bringing yourself to an environment where clients like to come and actually enjoy the service that they're getting.
Yeah.
In that space. And you're able to do that the best possible way because you're looking after yourself and you're making choices that you can show up there and go, I'm ready for you guys and girls. I'm going to give you the best service. You're going to come back.
Yeah. Even when I said lucky, I was like, that's not the right word. I'm fortunate because I made the decision to make that life for myself, to create that environment that I love to walk in. Like, every little element of that studio that I have and that business that I have is how I like to do things. The music I like my clients to listen to.
Yeah.
The products I like to use. most importantly, the way I like people to feel.
Absolutely.
You know, that's just amazing to me.
100%. And like, people will always forget what you said, what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Amazing. Yeah. I'm always, every podcast I have to mention, I mean, any. It's just something, I definitely think that's where I got it from. It was the way she made people feel. She's the one person I think of every single time I think about that. It's just the way you make people feel. And it's just that warmth. That's what I like to create in my life in general.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a lovely place to be able to say that's what I want to do for people.
Yeah. And I hope this podcast is doing it for people. And I hope this episode helps people. I hope it helps them on their way to having that environment in their home, in their life, in their relationships. Because it's absolutely vital that you're living your best life and you're enjoying each day to the fullest.
100%. And I think as well, when you say about living your best life, for a lot of people, they have to find out what that is.
Mm.
You know, so the boundary journey, that I call it,
yeah,
is something that will change. But you've got to bring it back to your values, who you are as a person and what you want to be able to do and say.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you talk about warmth, and if that's what you want to be able to provide to people, you have to think of the decisions that you're making and whether that's going to give you that and other people that or not.
Yeah, I suppose a good way to help people as well, because you need to identify your boundaries. So by identifying your boundaries, like, you don't necessarily have to know exactly what makes you happy in order to implement them. You just have to know what makes you unhappy. So
yeah.
Look at the situation, assess the situation. Like, the next time you feel in any way uncomfortable with a person, whether it's a family member or a friend or whatever, think, what are they doing that's making me feel uncomfortable? Then think, right, how can I remove just that element, not that person?
Yeah.
Because I'm not saying that you need to remove relationships from your life, because believe me, that's not the right way.
No.
You know, because there's a lot of people in your life that give you great things, and they might just give you one little thing that you're just, that's not really for you. So think, how can I now just remove myself
from that little situation?
That little situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that, because at the end of the day, you have to say to yourself, what is it about that particular situation that's bothering me that way? Is it that I need to work on myself? Is it something that's bothering me because it's on me?
Mm.
Not always on the other person.
Exactly, yeah.
But that's the thing about the journey of boundaries. It's be kind to yourself. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to fuck up. You're going to say, God, I didn't do that right. So the next time, go, okay, look at it, reflect back and say, Jesus, I'm going to do something better the next time. Or I'm going to make a different choice.
Yeah.
And play around with it as well. Have some fun. Like, say, I want to try this and see how it works with this person. Or I want, you know, they don't need to know that you're putting up boundaries, but you can say, that actually worked well. Or that didn't work and I'm not fucking doing that again.
Yeah. Like you did with me last week. You didn't want to go to the spa. What are you doing again?
Just now.
I remember a friend of mine actually implementing boundaries. And when she did it, she literally goes, no. And then she went, no, I'm just trying that out.
I love that.
I know. And you guess who it was?
Very good.
Yes. Now, look, before we head off, I do like to touch on a couple of topics throughout the podcast. So just, we've touched on family, friends stuff. Let's talk about relationships for a second.
Okay.
Because we both have them.
Yeah.
And boundaries, very important.
100%.
Mm. Give us an example.
Of a relationship, as in relationships, like you and Jonathan or me and JR, that type of?
Relationships in general.
Okay, so.
Like a hypothetical situation where there might be, you know, a boundary implemented and has a positive effect. An interview, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting all serious now. Where's the fun in this?
Yeah. But you know, it genuinely does happen. Like, because with me and you, I find we've been with our partners for a very long time and we still really enjoyed our company, thank God. But I said it before and I'll say it again. It's not something that comes naturally. It takes work, and you make a conscious effort to work together to be happy. So, yeah, what's a boundary? Or I'll tell you one, will I?
Well, if you want to, but you asked me the question.
I'm
have one.
I'm trying to fill it until you think of something.
No,
my fault, you weren't prepared.
No, the boundary that I would talk about is the boundary around communication. I think it's really important. We have to be able to talk. So I think you had mentioned before as well about never going to bed angry or never leaving the house when, you know, when you're angry because you don't want to. So that's a conscious choice that as a couple that you make. And it's hard sometimes because sometimes you just want to run out of the house and go, fuck you, you're after annoying me, this, that and the other. You didn't put the washing upstairs. You didn't. Like I came home from Albania and there was 5 loads of washing and I wasn't even in the house. You know?
Here's a actually another boundary I wanted to talk to you about.
Laundry.
Albania.
Oh, yeah.
That was an interesting trip for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah. My friend Claudiana is from Albania. And I met her 10 years ago when I worked for a company that we worked for at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And during COVID, shout out to Claudiana, she got cancer twice and beat it. And it was an amazing. But we were very, you know, I was so, how do I support this person who's going through a journey of cancer as well? And I remember in that time going, okay, I want to be there for the person, but I also knew how much of an empath I would be, that would literally impact me so much that it would literally drain me.
Yeah.
And I mean drain me in the sense that I wouldn't want it to drain me, but it would. Yeah. So we decided that we were going to go on a holiday together and so on. And we had planned to go before COVID even happened. Then obviously she got sick and so on. So we said, we're definitely going. But when we went to Albania as well, it was a great, absolutely great holiday. Absolutely loved it.
Mm.
And even having like boundaries in place, like it's in terms of, I didn't know anything about the holiday, literally that I was just going. And one of my boundaries would be that I like to know everything. I like to plan everything. I want to know everything that's happening. And I had to let that boundary go in order to see how I would go. And it actually was the first time I went on holiday and enjoyed it to the point where I went, I've completely relaxed.
Yeah.
You know?
Because you usually organise all the trips.
100%. That's why they're so good.
Well, in actual fact, now, I have to correct you on your description of how you ended up on that trip. Did you not say to me, did you know that in Albania, it's culture for them to absolutely spoil their guests?
100%.
To look after them.
100%.
So much. And then he came out with, so I recommend it to Claudiana that we go to Albania. You manipulated the whole
trip. No, I didn't, in fairness, manipulate it. It had been suggested and I was like, okay, are you sure? I said, I'll pay for the flights. So I did pay for the flights and so on. But they absolutely, I spoiled rotten. Absolutely spoiled rotten.
That's one now, thing you are aware of going.
Yeah, well, I knew that as well. They even had a C for my Louis in the back seat of the car as well. Now, there was one big challenge on the holiday as well, though, because there was one place that we went to. It was an organic farm and we had to choose the goat that we were going to have for dinner. So I had to make peace with it and I was talking to Billy for a while.
No.
What? Yeah. And then it was served up. I can't taste anyway. So I said it was lovely.
I know. So Michael suffers from long COVID. So he has no taste or smell. He doesn't really mention it a lot.
That's a boundary I have to put up for myself as well.
Doesn't really, no, that was actually one as well, wasn't it? So because you have no taste or smell, which you do tell us all a lot, but you nearly have to remind us. So the funniest thing is when you say, oh, it's lovely, isn't it, Michael? And he goes, yeah, the texture is great.
That's my way of,
I know.
That's my boundary of saying, I actually don't want you to ask me that again, but I'm just letting you know the texture is lovely.
Yeah.
But even on the holiday in Albania, Claudiana kept saying to me, oh, I wish you could taste. So I had to put a boundary up straight away and say, don't keep asking me how the meal is because I don't know.
No, she tipped you over the edge when you go. You said to me, like, we seen these beautiful roses. I could see the roses, they're beautiful. But no, that wasn't enough. She had to say, I wish you could smell the roses.
Smell the roses. She actually brought me to a town that's called the Village of the Roses. And why would you bring someone there that can't smell?
You can see, you know.
Strangely enough, there wasn't a rose in the whole village.
Was there? No,
there wasn't. There was none.
Potpourri. Could you smell it?
No.
No, I don't mean to make little. It's a horrible thing what you're going through. The long COVID, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it was last year. It was even worse with the vertigo as well and breaking my foot. But like, at the end of the day, it's just taste or smell. And I have every other sense and they're heightened now as well. So I'm just getting on with it, you know?
Yeah.
I have to believe it will come back.
Of course it will come back.
We're saying that the last 20 months.
Listen, you have to believe. You definitely have to believe. And does it make you kind of more inclined to eat healthier or anything? Because
absolutely
you can't taste
not.
Anything.
Like, it doesn't. It makes you stick to kind of the foods that you're used to as well, you know. So I've tried, like, goat, which I would have never tried before. I'm eating more fish and so on, but the one thing that really freaks me out is you can't smell food to know whether it's actually nice or like gone off, say, for example. So say, for example, we have like milk in the house.
Yeah.
And it's only bought. Oh, no. And because I can't smell it to see, like, is that gone off? I just be throwing it down the sink. And JR just be saying to me, Michael, like, we only bought that yesterday. And I'm like, I know. He said, the date is like another 5 days' time. And I'm like, I know, but I couldn't smell it. So I threw it out. You know?
At least you didn't put it in your tea.
No, I'd put it in other people's tea.
But I don't visit you anymore.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like in my relationship, we have a few boundaries now, I'm not going to lie. But one is, like, we always apologise, so we always say, well, sorry. Now, it's not like one saying, oh, you know, just taking the blame for something. It's taking ownership for your part in it.
I love that, because that's exactly what it is. It's ownership for your part in it, because everybody has their version of what they saw in that argument, or you let me down, or you weren't there for me.
It's not one was right and one was wrong. It's I'm sorry for my part in it.
Yeah, and that's a really powerful place to be in, but that takes work. Like, you know that, because sometimes you just want to say, no, it is your fault.
Yeah, no, I do as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, you get a bit of that out of the way, and then you have a moment and you reflect and you sit and... Because it's normal to react and, you know, say, ah, fuck you and fuck off and fuck out. But then you can just bring it back, take a moment to yourself, have a little breather and go, right, hold on for a minute and assess the situation and go, do you know what, I'm sorry about that. And we usually do it, not always, but we really, really try our best to make sure that we do that before we go to bed for the night, because I hate the idea of somebody going to bed and feeling like that.
Oh, 100%.
Like, it's absolutely horrible. And then you wake up the next morning and your sleep was different. You know, like, and I'm all about getting out the right side of the bed. Oh, and it's a lot more difficult when you're after going to bed with that sort of feeling. So that's a huge, huge big boundary in my house. And it's probably so, like, often used. That now my two-year-old even does it, like, so she often snaps and roars at us and then goes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. But she's imitating what she saw as well. And that's, and see, the other side of it as well is you really want to be in a place where you're not saying, I don't mean not saying sorry, but you're not reacting forced and not letting your emotions rule that reaction and then reflecting. You want to actually breathe it out and go, okay, what's the best thing I can say right now? Do I need to walk away? Do I need space? Do I need to... Yeah. Do I need to say what I need to say, but say it in a way that you're not having to go back and say, well, I'm sorry for what I said, or I'm sorry for what I did. But you might have to say, look, I'm sorry for what I did there. That wasn't right. I shouldn't do that. We've said we won't do that again. However, this is how I'm feeling. And that's very hard. It's a real grown up conversation to be having, you know
what it is. But it's like ironic that I actually have that sort of mentality, because like I said to you, I come from a family where we react.
Yeah.
We're high-tempered, we react, we snap. And in actual fact, in my family, we have had arguments like where we just go mental at each other and we never apologise. Like, I was sitting down with one of my cousins a couple of months ago and we were chatting and Jonathan says, yous actually never apologise to each other. We just kind of like, you know, shout at each other, give out and have more, and then we just move on. But nothing ever gets addressed. And those feelings confess that, you know, like, so I definitely didn't want that in my relationship now.
Mm.
I love to be able to communicate and talk things out and just then definitely let that go.
Yeah.
And move on from it.
Yeah. And I think once you talk it out and let it go, that's the hard part as well, letting it go.
Mm.
You've got to finish the conversation and say, right, I've said all I need to say.
Yeah.
You can't keep circling back and going, oh, and by the way, I never said this.
Yeah.
You know, because that's not going to serve. That's just going to bring it all back up again.
Yeah. We also have to understand that what I'm saying is, and what we're chatting about, you can't have that with every single person, because not everybody is in that place and not everybody is willing to be either.
No,
because they have this sort of mentality. A lot of work goes into it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be a certain sort of person or you have to put the work in. And I have loads of people around me that would, they think I'm off the wall. You know, they just think, oh, she's mad. She thinks everyone needs therapy. So I wouldn't even go down that road. And trying to communicate or have a conversation with any of them, because it's pointless.
Yeah,
and I'm
exactly.
not giving them the energy. And that's another boundary. It's like, look, this is how I like to live my life. And some of my closest friends, some of my family, and definitely my husband. That's the relationship that I have with them. But I don't have this relationship and I don't communicate like this with every other person mm-hmm. because not everybody is like that. And I'm not willing to give my energy to everybody or people that are going to suck it or waste it. So I have a boundary there.
Yeah, exactly. How do you feel now with that in place?
Like, I made of steel. Unstoppable.
There's as well as, you know, we were talking before as well, there's a big boundary that people suffer for, or like find very difficult as well, is a boundary around money. Money with, like, for themselves, but also, like, money when people might say, have you got to lend a 20 quid or have you got to lend a this? That's a real hard for people to say. They might lend it and say, yeah, but then if they don't get that back, there's an issue there where that money, like a physical thing, becomes a big issue for people, you know?
Money is always an uncomfortable subject. It's always awkward. I don't particularly like to talk about money. I never borrow money and I don't like to lend money.
Yeah.
I just don't because it can create all sorts
100%, yeah.
of feelings. It doesn't. But I do have a lot of people in my life that I've had that before. You know, like I have had people ask me for money before. I definitely have a boundary up. But it's not that I don't want to give the money. I just don't want the spiraling effect.
That it can have.
That it can happen. 100%. So I would much prefer to even buy what the person needs than actually give them the money.
Yeah.
You know, but what I tend to do is I tend to give people ideas, and my friend said this to me, that I was a bit of a manifester. So I love people to take control of their own life and ownership for their own life and earn their own money because they're in a much better place. Like, how do you feel when you're having to go to somebody else and ask for their hard-earned money?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's putting them in a position that no one should be in. So I'd much prefer to give them an idea or a possible business venture that they can then make money for themselves. Builds confidence. The amount of things that does for a person.
Yeah.
So that's the sort of things that I like to do. I don't like to get involved with money.
Yeah.
I tend to kind of back away from situations like that.
Yeah. And that is hard for people to do because you want to help the person, but you also, like what you said, what's the best way of me helping them?
Mm.
You know, and they probably don't want to even ask for the money. You know, you've been in situations where you would have borrowed money before or asked for money. You don't want to be asking for it, but you might need to ask for it. But what else can you give the person if you can't give the money? Or you're choosing not to give the money?
Mm.
Because that might not actually solve the problem. It's a quick fix for whatever they need the money for there and then. But it's not getting to the real cause of why they actually got into that situation in the first place.
And some people tend to get into the habit of lending money. So, you know, like, they're not just asking you for a lend of money.
Yeah.
So giving them a way to make money or to generate money for themselves, you're actually doing so much more for them than what you are just giving them the money. You might feel like, uncomfortable and cruel at the time, but in actual
you'll feel more uncomfortable if they don't pay you back and then the relationship.
You're chasing your own money.
Yeah, you're chasing your own money, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can have my money back. No, but it is. It's an awkward one. It definitely is. And I think, like, a lot of that kind of got done years ago, you know. Like, I remember living in the flats and everybody was kind of giving each other a little dig out, and people tend to look at it differently. It's like, like, as if you are greedy or, you know, but sometimes you have to prioritise your money, like, as well. Like, people go out there, they work and they earn their money. A lot of time and effort goes into people earning their money, and they deserve to do what they like with it.
Well, it's theirs.
Yeah, like, you know, so, but they also don't, no one should have to feel bad for wanting to spend their own money on themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Or on the people that they want to spend it on as well, you know?
Exactly. But yeah, it's always a taboo subject. And I know so many people feel uncomfortable with it. Like, I was even chatting to Dominique the last time about charging for services.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's so uncomfortable because you're like, oh, you're my friend, I don't want to charge you. Like, you know, it's just...
No, 100%. But you have to think of the time that you're putting into it as well, like the education that you went through. I never, ever had an issue with charging the rates that I charge for my coaching because I'm pretty damn good at what I do because I put a lot of work into it. And I come from that place. That person is getting all that experience and all of that, like, conversation and so on, and I'm helping them and they're helping themselves, but I'm really asking them to literally look inside themselves and find what they need in that space. So they need to get, like, a good service from that, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of bringing me on to people knowing their worth as well, like, which I think is huge and so important. Just, like, because so many times I've seen people, like, I work for myself, obviously, so, you know, I have to put a price on my services and take everything into account, like, you know, the run-ins and the cost of the business, my experience, the products that I use, all of that. But I also have a lot of people in my life that work for other people, businesses, employers, and they're not confident in knowing their worth. You know, they don't want to go in and ask for more money.
Yeah.
They don't want to put a price on themselves.
Yeah.
They're selling themselves short.
Yeah, it's mad because it actually reminds me today, I do some other work with like a guy called Joe. He's great. I've worked with him for the last few years. And today when I was talking to him, I wanted to have a conversation with him about money and having to increase my cost of me invoicing. And I was like, I was actually time with like, when will I have this conversation? When's the best time? But he rang me today to just have a chat. And I says to him at the end of the conversation, oh, by the way, I want to talk to you about increasing my invoices. And I told him the price. And he, you know what he said? No problem, Michael. You're well worth it. He said, well, will you do it from September? And I said, no, I'm sending one today. It's for June. I'm sending it straight away. You know?
Yeah.
Because I knew my worth. I knew I was underselling for the last year or so because prices have gone up. Things have changed.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's another thing as well. Like, if you're working for somebody else and you feel like you're not getting your full worth and you want to go in, you want to ask for pay rise, you know, make your case. Like, make your case. Like, look at yourself. What value you bring to the business, and then go in, make a pitch.
Yeah.
Look for more money. Like what?
Don't sit there giving out about the fact that you want more money, because that's not going to change anything. You've got to take the bull by the horn and literally go, I'm going in, I'm going to ask for that. And as you say, pitch to them why they should give it to you.
Exactly. Like I was chatting to somebody, they're after getting a new job opportunity. This one is not doing a similar role, not doing as much work as the work that she was doing before, because with this one, she's going into a larger company. The other one, she's in a smaller company and she's more stretched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she's doing more, but she feels more important because she feels like she has a more superior role because she's doing more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On this one, she doesn't have to do as much,
mm-hmm.
but she gets like a third extra
mm-hmm.
on her salary.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, oh, but I'm not doing as much, but I'm getting more money, you know, like, but for her, the element of that kind of like that power that, you know, importance in the workplace is obviously very important to her. But what's also very important to her is a 4-day week. But this new position, even though it has so much more money, is a 5-day week. And she was saying, so I don't know what to do. And I was like, well, what do you mean you don't know what to do? You go in and say, yeah, I'm available 4 days a week.
100%.
You know, like, your time is valuable.
Yeah.
How you spend your time, how you live your life.
And it's not the time to ask for it when you're 6 months into the role. Go in and say, look, you want me, and I know you do, because you've already kind of offered me the role, but I'm not prepared to work 5 days a week. What can we do to make it work?
Exactly, yeah. But don't get confused with being ignorant.
No.
You know, make sure, don't start going in there and asking for loads of days off when you're not doing the work.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, be confident about your position. Know that you're trying your best and know you're worth it.
100% as well.
And then go in. But I hope that helps anybody else out. And anyway, hope you get a few bob out of that. Anyway, before we wrap things up, have you gotten any mantra?
Believe it or not, I do. And it's so unrelated to the money thing.
Right.
So my nanny Rita always used to say, neither a borrower or a lender be. And it was her way of saying never borrow money and never ask for money.
Why?
Yeah. Never borrow money or never give money, sorry, in that regard. Neither a borrower nor a lender be.
Yeah.
Strange thing is, the strange thing is she never lived up to it. She borrowed off everybody.
Did she? Yeah.
So I think she was telling us not to live the way she was living in that regard.
Well, that's what they always do. That's what I find so interesting about these nanny mantras is whatever mistakes they made, they're trying to put it out there to the generations to follow to not do the same thing.
Exactly.
My nanny used to always say, make sure you have your rainy day money. Now, other nannies, because I've heard this loads of time, would say, make sure you had your runaway money. But I love to think that that's my nanny's positive mentality there. You know, your rainy day money, just have a little something aside.
Yeah, love that.
But that was very good, actually. But because I think with money as well, it's a big one with security, isn't it? Like a lot of people, if you have a bit of money there, it offers you such an element of security. Options.
Mm. You know, that's what it is for people. It's being able to go, I can go on that holiday, or if I want to go for a meal, I can do it. And it's not that I have to go, oh God, I can't do that. You want to be, it gives you choices. And I think that's the thing about money. It gives you choices.
Yeah.
You just make sure that the choices that you choose are serving your boundaries and they're healthy.
Yeah. And you know what? Now more than ever as well, you do need to kind of look at it, because the lifestyle in this country is getting colossal.
Yeah.
I went into the shop, $1.69 for a packet of King.
Stop. A big bag or just a small
bag? Small bag, miniature.
No. You'd want to get into Tato Park for $1.69.
Another cost cutter at Facing the Cloud Cafe on the North Strand are charging $1.69 for a packet of King. My friend said that. Mom, we go down to Spar. I got a six pack for $2.50.
There's a choice you made around boundaries and money.
I know.
Telling you now.
There we go. Well, listen, thanks everybody for listening. And thank you, Michael, for joining me again. It was an absolute pleasure.
You're very welcome and thanks for having me.
Listen, I'm off on me holly bops. I'll be back again soon if you're nosy enough.
Do you think you can handle it? Do you think you could? Do you think you could handle it? Do you think you could?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.